Hello, this is Ryan Reisert, your host. This is going to be a very different podcast series than anything you've experienced on the market. What I'm trying to do is change things up a little bit. Rather than having a special guest and one topic with great conversation that goes away, we're going to host a series of experts and others who have perspective on different topics over a period of time. Gather that in a series of episodes and roll that out until we've really exhausted a topic. So hopefully you enjoy this podcast, and thanks again for listening in.
All right, our next guest on this topic, we've got Brendan Allen Barrett. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Brendan Allen Barrett. I am located in Phoenix metro area. I'm sales development leader for Virtuous CRM. So I'm leading a team of SDRs, building pipeline every day. And I also produce a blog full of all kinds of content on best practices in sales, sales development, sales leadership. And you can find that at Start in Phoenix or startinphx.com.
Yeah, and I highly recommend, even if you're not in Phoenix, to check out the content that Brendan puts out. This guy's a guru when it comes to understanding, especially the fundamentals. But we're going to talk about a really important topic here, right? Selling yourself and landing a job in a downturn. You're a sales development leader, so what better person to give some perspective on this for those who are out there looking for new work, or for those potentially kind of figuring out their next move, if they're not actively looking, getting some tips and tricks for what to look out for. The first thing we always talk about is like, what does it mean to sell yourself? You know, when you're in the job search, what does that mean to you?
Well, like a mistake I've made myself and I've seen people make over and over, right? Like is, especially if you've been selling for a little while, right? Like you get used to pitching other people's stuff. The hardest thing to do is sell yourself, right? Cause some of the best salespeople are, they're not blowing smoke. They're very meticulous about how they do it. And they're very reflective people and humble people. Like that's just who they are. And it makes them really good listeners and really good at finding the win-win scenario. But like realizing that you are the product and this is the time to bang your drum and puff your chest, like that's a switch that absolutely has to get flipped, right? Like, yes, you want to sit back and ask the right questions and make sure you're finding the right gig for you, right? Take you 3-6 months to get ramped. And then if you don't like the gig, then you got to start over somewhere else. So you do want to be cautious of that. But like, yes, you absolutely have to flip that switch, right? And know like why you, why now, why for this organization? Mm-hmm. And I mean, for every interview, for every phone interview, like, you know, plan that call like you would a discovery call or a demo.
Well, you bring a good point, because like some of the best, especially sales development reps, they don't even have a background yet. And so they may not even know what it means to sell themselves because they haven't been in a sales role, but they've got to kind of bring it, right? And, for those making a transition, if they've had some success, I think another thing that comes up quite often when I think about selling themselves, and I get a lot of these questions, it's like, I really want to break into SaaS. And you've got this background, right? You come from a door-to-door gig, right? And I want to sell SaaS, but I don't have the SaaS experience. And so you start to get them to tell their story a little bit, and you start to help tease out the fact that, you know, they may have been in sales their whole life, because we're all in sales, and getting them to tell that story. And so do you have any, what are your thoughts on the idea of like having specific types of experience versus being able to kind of sell around solving that experience?
Well, so like my view on it is sales is sales is sales. Like if you're good at winning somebody's attention or interrupting their day and getting them to thank you for it, you probably be pretty good at an inside sales SaaS gig, right? But not everybody sees it that way. They want to have seen you check that box before, right? And what I've seen work is, you know, dive into the literature, right? Like, you know, dive into books like, you know, Corey Bray's like sales development and, you know, outbound sales, no fluff, and fanatical prospecting and predictable revenue, right? It'll give you a common language from which to have conversations with these sales leaders and also open your eyes to how you can link your experience to the demands of this role.
Yeah. Well said. And so now we're going to get into the idea of, you know, how do you find jobs right now, right? Everyone is in this position where we're getting laid off, we're getting furloughed. I mean, some companies are going bankrupt that have been around forever. It's kind of a scary time, but, you know, how do you actually figure out who is hiring? Do you have any, you know, tactics you've used in the past or, you know, you'd recommend at this stage for someone who's actively in the job hunt?
So it's one of those things that it's like, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the second best time to plant a tree is today, right? Yeah. You know, my dad back, you know, 2007, 2008 was laid off for the first time like since I'd been around. Right. I'm in senior in high school. And, you know, the thing that he had going for him is 25, 30 years of fantastic work. Right. And so when he found himself out of a job, there's people who'd called him up, who'd called him 3, 4, 5 times before to try to offer him a job, but he was set. Right. And so you kind of want to find yourself in that scenario. So how do you find yourself in that scenario? Man, you network. Right. Like, we spend so much time, especially if you're already in a sales or sales development role, prospecting, right? But I mean, it's worth the time to play the long game, take a networking call, you know, every couple of days or once a week. You know, right now we can't really go out. Not too many of us can go out to have like the coffee date networking session, but you can have a virtual coffee date, right? Heck, you could even order somebody their lunch via Postmates and like have lunch from your respective locations, right? That's the groundwork. That's the foundation. That's when you find the opportunities. That's when you can have those closed door conversations where like, yeah, I'm crushing it at this job, but there's some obvious limitations. And so I'm open to offers. You can say the kinds of things that you can't say on LinkedIn and keep your job. And you'll have the ear of people who have some of the best jobs in your location to have, or in your industry, because the reality is the best jobs don't get advertised. They get filled too fast. People are banging down that door every day hoping that organization is hiring. And, you know, if you're constantly in conversations with people, you know, so if you're looking for a sales gig, right, just about every city has a Salesforce user group, a HubSpot user group, an AAISP chapter, a sales enablement society chapter, right? If those organizations aren't meeting right now, and even if they are, like, find out who organizes those meetings, hit them up on LinkedIn, pitch the no pitch, you know, virtual coffee date. Hey, I'm new to the industry, or I'm trying to crack into SaaS, or hey, I noticed this organization, you know, you're involved in this organization. I'd love to learn more. You know, can we jump on the phone for 15 minutes so I can learn more about it, see if it's something I want to jump into? People love taking that call, especially, you know, if you're younger talent, right? They want to give back to the next generation and like make it all about them, man. Flatter them just like you're on a date, right? Have 3, 4, 5 questions ready to go, you know, about what they're working on, how interesting it is. Keep diving down that rabbit hole. The more you are interested in them, the more interesting you'll be. And then they'll have a bunch of questions for you, want to know how they can help you.
There you have it. I think we can wrap it up here. I mean, that was like an MBA in what to do regardless of a pandemic, because always be networking, you know, and I say that all the time. One thing you didn't know, which I think is pretty exciting, that's popping up are these like virtual even networking solutions. There's one called Lunch Club. So in addition to all the stuff that you just recommended, there's ones that will like be virtual matchmakers. They're free to sign up. And it basically just forces you to go meet strangers. And one of the things I think salespeople get trapped in is they always say, oh, this person's wasting my time, or I spent so much, you know, and if you have that mindset, you've got to switch that off right away. because, you know, your network is your net worth, as they say. And I think a lot of, people who have had success in sales thinks that's BS because they see a lot of people that maybe aren't as successful right now doing those things and not making the same commission check because they do cut off a lot of conversations. But if you're disqualifying out people who, if you're trying to sell to them too early that want to take meetings with you that have come to you, or if you're not taking that proactive approach, you're really doing yourself a disservice.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's, it was like an MBA, man. That was fantastic. So let's say I want to go and reach out to some of these people. What are some of the things that they can do to break through, to get that conversation, not even just an interview, but just that conversation. That's different than, hey, we're connected and I'm new to sales. You want to take a meet? Like, yes, that works probably, but any other like ways to stand out if people are getting flooded with those types of things right now? Love the idea of lunch, by the way. Let me buy you a virtual lunch. That's great. Yeah.
Hey man, I love your podcast. Hey man, I love that article. Hey, I love that thing. Or share like you know, actually read the stuff that they're sharing on LinkedIn, right? With the social distancing, it's kind of tough. Like one play that I love for networking is, hey, you going to this event? One sentence email. It gets like a 30% reply rate from a single email. And then you're into a conversation, right? And if they're not going to that event, oh man, that's too bad. Like, you know, if it's somebody you have talked to before, right? Like, hey, it's been forever since we chatted. Like, let's catch up again and put a time on the calendar. If it's somebody like, I do that cold to people I've never met. Right. And like, hey man, you going to this thing? And it's like, no, you know, I haven't been to that organization's event in forever long. Right. Really good. You know, but you're in a conversation. So many people will reply to that if you're not trying to pitch anything. Right. Yep. And so you,
so that one sentence is literally find something,
find an event.
You say, Hey, Brennan, are you going to the AISP virtual thing next week? That's it. That's the sentence.
That's the sentence, man. Send it to 20 people. You'll probably get 5 replies and you'll probably book 3 meetings.
Interesting.
The expert level hack, like, when we were out, when we could go see people in the flesh, I try to do an event a week and then I would piggyback them. I'd put them in a HubSpot sequence and it would be an email every week as a reply to the previous email. Hey, you going to this week, this event? How about this next one over here? Or any chance I'm going to see you at this one? So 3 emails. If they don't reply to the first, they're definitely going to reply to 2 or 3, you know, email 2 or 3. And so now your reply rate is over 50%. You're in way more conversations, but you'll also find events. Like, and then if you go to these events, people find it. Like, so I'm on the board of a young professionals organization here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I got invited to be on that board before I was a member, because I was inviting all the new people to that organization's event.
How'd you hear this event? Brendan.
And then they look over there, who the heck is Brendan? And I was getting people to pay full price, even though their first time there, they could get a discount kind of thing. And like, not only will you know, when you can be in a room, like you'll be the most popular person there. There'll be a bunch of people who don't know anybody who just know you. And now you can kind of play matchmaker and they're going to be super thankful about that. But you can do the same thing in these virtual things, right? If it's a Zoom networking thing, happy hour, right? Like you invite 5 people, say hello to all of them in the chat. If you're not actually vocal on the screen, you know, hey, John, you need to meet Stephanie and play the, you know, if you, hey John, do you know Michelle? If you don't know Michelle, you guys should link up after this call kind of thing. And people are super thankful for that because they don't go to networking events because they're uncomfortable and you just made it tolerable and they benefited from it. So, I mean, those are some of my fun hacks for networking.
And the mindset going into that, right, is literally just being open to conversation. Right. You've got to be able to start to be human and just talk with people and stop having an agenda and just be human. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people get caught up in this, because it's more about me versus like, hey, just get out there and meet people, have conversations, try to figure out what their problems are. And you'll figure out, you know, that stuff comes back to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I've got stuff like this on startinphoenix.com, but Get, I'm also managing their blog now. And so Get, so getphoenix.org, on their blog, there's a bunch of stuff on like best practices for networking. And a lot of this stuff applies to the virtual world as well. If you got questions on how to tweak it, you know, hit me up on LinkedIn, happy to help. But I mean, it's still some of the same fundamentals, just like, you know, before sales moved indoors, right? And everybody was a field rep. Like it's the same things. It's just applied a little bit differently through a different tool. Right. Yep. And, you know, be there to serve, pick people that would be, you'd be interested in talking to, right? Because they've done a thing you want to do, or they work in an organization you'd like to work with or for, right? And just start conversations and be there to serve, find ways to help them. You know, if they're interested in doing this thing and you know somebody who knows something about that, introduce them, you know, send the intro email. It's two sentences. Hey, John, meet Alyssa. You guys should connect on this thing. Happy connecting. I'll see my way out. Right. And people are super thankful for it.
Yeah, this is incredible. So there's all sorts of value in networking. And if I'm in a position where I kind of need a job, what is your take on this idea of cultural fit or things that are really, really important to me? So mm-hmm. It's one thing to just meet a bunch of random people, but I want to get specific to a certain type. You know, I'm prospecting for my swim lane, my dream job. Mm-hmm. What's your take on, you know, sacrificing, you know, culture, pay, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. Versus just taking a job right now?
I mean, like, don't go into debt looking for the dream job. Yeah. The search for the dream job is, you know, that's an extracurricular, right? We work to pay our bills, right? But yeah, finding a true vocation, finding the perfect fit, that's going to take a little bit work beyond your 9 to 5. So, I mean, that should be the expectation, right? But another thing is, like, just because the grass seems greener somewhere else, like, don't leave your current gig if you don't have something else lined up, if you can avoid it, right? Unemployment is high, right? Like, that's a reality. You know, and so you have to be cognizant of that. But like, speaking of Get Phoenix, right, we just published a blog from a gal who like was dissatisfied with her gig, right? And she found a way to, you know, achieve the kind of fulfillment she was looking for. You know, she hit this self-described boredom plateau, right? And wasn't in a sales role, right? Basically, she just grabbed the bull by the horn and started taking responsibility for things nobody asked her to take responsibility for. And not only did it make her stand out, but she enjoyed her job more. She didn't feel the urge to leave or change careers. In fact, that's the title of the post. If you're considering a career change, don't. You know, a pivot might be more appropriate. Now, for salespeople, like, pet projects can definitely kill your pipeline, so you got to be super careful. But like, if you want to be a manager someday, like, and you want to get the reputation for somebody who has the skills to become a manager, start coaching people. But that doesn't have to happen between 7 and 4:30, you know, when people are supposed to be on the phones. That can happen at 5 o'clock, you know, during a virtual happy hour.
Yeah. Man, this is just chock full of great advice. I think we could talk forever. We probably could come back with some different topics in the future. We'll bring you back into here, but I want to make sure we're cruising along here and making things move along. I have a question. So, I mean, you've already thrown out a few different like resources, actually a ton of resources in terms of communities, things like that, but say I get into a job, and you're already talking about making sure you're always networking, but do you have any tips, tricks? I mean, I think you're going through this, you know, ramp period yourself, like mm-hmm. coming into the new role recently, but how do I get up to speed and start producing quickly? How do I, I don't know, the first 90 is kind of a cliche these days, but you know, the first 30 or 60, yeah. But what are some of the things that I could do to set myself up for success and really stand out early on?
You know, like, even the best salesperson, you know, won't hit their number if they only pick up the phone once a day, right? Like, it is a numbers game. And if you're bad at the game, you need higher output numbers, right? You need more activity. Those repetitions will give you some, you know, the type of feedback that helps you learn, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky enough to be in an organization that has a training program, drink the Kool-Aid, man. Don't reinvent the wheel, right? Drink the Kool-Aid, run their playbook, right? Once you've mastered it, then you can think about deviating from it. And innovating on it. But like, I mean, the thing that we do is a numbers game, but we do things to influence those numbers, right? Mm-hmm. But again, if you don't have it's a learned skill. Every gig is a learned skill, right? Like just, you know, you can't walk off the street and be good at selling a new product, you know, because you sold the last one well. You have to humble yourself. You have to learn it. You have to ask the questions, constantly be asking questions, right? And find a way, like, if you're excited about the new job, lean into that energy, work a little extra, right? Because eventually that energy and your willpower will wear. But hopefully, you know, if you've leaned into that energy and made the best use of it, you know, you'll be pretty well ramped by the time you want to keep your hours, you know, exactly 8 or exactly 7.5, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is incredible. There's, I don't know, so much to unpack here, a lot of value in just a short period of time here. We'll make sure to, when I publish this episode, I'll try to throw in some of those links that you mentioned here, because I think there's a lot to go into. But if folks want to get a hold of you and talk about this more, or learn some of your ninja networking tricks, is LinkedIn the best place? Or, you know, I know you mentioned that already, but how folks?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Brendan Allen Barrett.
But not the MMA fighter.
Yeah, he's not on LinkedIn. No, right? Brendan Barrett. That's why I'm Brendan Allen Barrett. Even after I bought BrendanBarrett.com, that guy still ranks better than me. He's just got way more news coverage. That's the reality. But yeah, Brendan Allen Barrett, Alan, on LinkedIn, or you can find me at startinphoenix.com. You know, subscribe to my email list, you know, learn some stuff. You can also, if you dig around, you can find my calendar link and book in some time for one of those virtual coffee dates.
And you might be hiring folks, right? You're growing
Indeed.
A team.
Yeah.
And so, hey, if you're interested in working for somebody who gets it, might be a great opportunity to test out some of these tactics.
We're entertaining conversations, both my, you know, for me, SDRs, but our team at large. I mean, whether you're looking for an SDR gig or an AE gig, if it's not me that you need to talk to, I can get you linked up with the right person.
There you have it. Well, thank you so much for bringing your knowledge. I feel like I just got an MBA and how to go and get a job. And, you know, definitely love to have you back at a future topic because you're packed full of knowledge. So thanks again for contributing, man. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you having me.
All the best. Cheers.